Good afternoon, world. Don't touch that frequency. Order luncheon, pick a comfy chair, because this is Face Off with Anita Kapoor, a brand new radio talk show coming at you 100% live from the 938 Live studio. Now, for the next hour, today and every Thursday, we're all about savvy subjects, fresh opinions, and new perspectives as I come face to face with amazing people, companies, and ideas that epitomize audacity, spirit, and integrity. In short, they're kind of cool. Now, I want to dedicate this first ever show to my gorgeous mom and my sisters, my family, to my love, and to my very late friend, Pavinder Singh, who left us far too early, but left behind a legacy of magnificent proportions. So today's big topic is all about causes and effects. And we're talking about this idea that supporting a cause has just become such a sexy, sexy thing, both in Singapore and in the world. In the last couple of years, partially it seems to be sort of a basic human response to be part of something a little bit bigger. But the other part of me asks simply, is this just all push-button advocacy? It's very easy to get into a Facebook group, to join something, to go and open a Twitter account, look at websites. They become so much more interactive. It's very easy to gather the people and go to parks and hold up placards. But really, at the end of the day, where does the trend end and when does the actual advocacy begin? And of course, this major quandary I'm going to be helped to discuss with three fantastic people who have decided to come in here and be my first victims of the show. We have Tay Sen Wei, Values and PR Manager of The Body Shop International Asia Pacific. Now, The Body Shop are currently supporting the Soup Kitchen Project in Singapore and Stop Sex Trafficking of Children and Young People campaign. We have Michael Swaitau, co-founder of One Singapore, a local society dedicated to raising public awareness and taking action to make poverty history. And last but not least, the very lovely Karine Soreau, Director, Corporate Responsibility and Earth Hour Project Manager, WWF. That's the Worldwide Fund for Nature, not wrestling. And it's all about stopping the degradation of the planet's environment to build a harmonious environment for human beings and future human beings. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey,
Nina.
Thank you,
Sunny. Nice to have you all here. Now, listen, I'm about as nervous as you are, so let's just get the show on the road. I want to address my first question to Karine. You know, WWF is doing a remarkable job with Earth Hour. I mean, I'm also a part of your project. I'm very happy to be involved. And I look at all the ads and I see all of this amazing stuff happening. And I ask myself, well, Is it really all about just getting people to switch off their lights? How far can you go? And also, this year, you guys have incorporated a lot of social media into your platform, which I think is a fantastic thing. But really, at the end of the day, how do you gauge what that is really doing for your campaign?
Obviously, advertising and social media are extremely important to bring the message to the masses and to the general public, right? We are blasted with thousands of advertising messages every day, and apparently it works, right? Because consumerism doesn't seem to be really... to be the end of consumerism today, and I think we're not... That doesn't show any sign of fatigue for consumerism. So advertising works. Social media is something new. I mean, it's very new for us to use it also for our campaign, for Earth Hour campaign this year. I think it's obvious that it's the new medium of the future. This is how we can communicate our messages. This is how we can spread the messages probably more quickly than with the mainstream advertising. And obviously, it's much more cheaper for organizations like us to work with social media.
Fantastic. I'm going to move on to Michael. Michael is sitting in between the two fabulous ladies, and he's been specifically positioned so that he can defend his cause. Michael, One Singapore, you know, poverty is absolutely nothing to do with glamour. You know, it's really about looking at something straight in the face and reckoning with the fact that there are a lot of people that just don't have any food to eat. What I'd like to ask you about it is really, what is the challenge of running a society that is all about eradicating poverty in a country that is probably one of the top five richest Southeast Asian countries?
That is a really interesting paradox, Anita. We did a campaign a couple years ago where celebrities went out on the streets and they went on Orchard Road and they asked people, do you know anyone who's poor? What does it mean to be poor? And the responses we got back were just, I mean, they're mind-boggling. Sometimes there were things like, cannot buy luxury goods, huh? You know, there were some people who had an idea, but not enough. The fact is, though, there are actually a lot of people in Singapore, both local and foreign, who don't have enough to eat every day. who do not have a place to go home at night. So poverty does exist here. And our organization, One Singapore, we're committed to a world where no one is poor in Singapore and overseas.
Okay. And how do you actually get people to understand and believe that this actually exists here?
Basically, we just have to raise awareness. We have to work with the youth. We do bring in celebrities sometimes to talk about it. This weekend, for example, I mean, we have an event which is a direct service event that gets people involved, but it also highlights the issue. So on Sunday, our event is called Everyone Can. Everyone Can feeds a hungry person. Everyone can stand up and make a difference. Everyone can make poverty history.
Now, you've done this before, haven't you?
We have. This is the second time we're doing it. Yep. And just to be clear, it's a charity warehouse sale.
Okay.
So it takes place over on Keppel Road, right across from the Malaysian Railway Station. It's a food warehouse. Their business is supplying hotels and restaurants, etc. So it's a chance, actually, for people to go in and shop at discount prices. But to do that, they have to also buy something for donation. And so we're partnering with groups like New Hope Community Services, which was Singapore's first homeless shelter, to distribute the food which is purchased on spot for donation to people that need it.
That's fantastic, Michael. We're gonna just run into the traffic news that we want to tell everybody, and then we're kind of going to come right back and keep on talking about... And we are right back here with Face Off. And we were just talking to Michael Swido about some of the efforts with Yes, Everyone Can. And I wanted to ask you something about last year. How many people actually came and how do they contribute? And really, what was the lasting effect?
Okay, well, Everyone Can, when we did it last year in October, it was part of a broader campaign, which is Stand Up, Take Action Against Poverty.
Now, that was quite a sexy campaign, Michael.
And it's... I don't know about that, but it was... really a huge campaign and the largest campaign like it that's ever taken place, because 173 million people, more than 2% of the world population, literally took a moment to stand up and call on world leaders to keep their promises to end poverty. 173 million people.
That's quite mind-boggling.
It is. Here in Singapore, our largest numbers were... Well, actually, the very first year we did this, in 2006, there were about 29 people that gathered in a room at the substation. The next year, there were 4,000, mainly students.
4,000 people.
In Singapore.
In Singapore.
And then in 2008, we had 35 events across town and more than 14,000 people. So Datacraft Asia, flight crew at Singapore Airlines, students, celebrities, you name it, coming together to take a moment and stand up.
I want to address another question, and actually this is a question to both yourself and Corinne. You know, this idea of using celebrities and campaigns. I was actually watching Annie Lennox on Hard Talk yesterday, and she was getting grilled to the max. I got to learn a little bit about grilling you guys, okay? And one of the things that she said, and what the guy actually did pose to her, was this idea of celebrities. You know, I mean, what's the point of it, really, apart from a person getting involved in something to sort of stand up there and say, I got involved? But the other thing, and we've actually spoken about this earlier, is that perhaps is that how you get the media to take notice? And is there a very lackadaisical effect on the part of the media to actually cover some of these things that makes you have to go into these areas and actually get people in there who have names and have faces to get the message out? Corinne?
Okay. Yeah, I think of course media is very important there in why we engage with celebrities. It's one way to get media attention, but I think it's also a way to tell people that this campaign, or Earth Hour, or is it One Singapore, it's for everyone. We try to engage for Earth Hour. We have engaged 12 celebrities, 12 personalities. They're all different people. They all reach out to completely different kind of people. So it's really there to show that Earth Hour and doing something for climate change and joining together in the fight against climate change is for everyone. It's not because you're poor, you're rich, or you're a personality, or you're not. And it's really there, and everyone has to come together and do something about it. So I think that's also why we're trying to engage celebrities.
Sort of
and
some kind of a get them to sort of encourage a bit of community spirit in that sense.
Yes.
Now, Wei is sitting in the corner here, and we haven't quite attacked her yet. The Body Shop and the Soup Kitchen Project. Now, one of the things that I spoke to you about was that I found the Soup Kitchen Project to be such a humble little project that really can have a great ripple effect. And essentially, it is about delivering food to the poor store in the area that's around Food 3. Now, this is a project by Food 3. Can you just explain to everyone listening in? Because it's a slightly smaller project that not a lot of people may know a lot about.
Well, what's interesting about the soup project, soup kitchen project, is that it's run completely by volunteers. So it's not organized by a charity. We have maybe up to 20 volunteers a week coming together in their own time and cooking, arranging food, distributing it to the people who need it. So it's really interesting because it's not a full-time job for these people, and do it completely out of their own free will and a willingness to make a difference. So that was what was really interesting about this project.
Okay, and it is a great little project because I actually have participated and will do so again on Monday. And I thought, well, you know, for the first time I felt that I was involved in something that there was a tangible result, a benefit to somebody. Now, how did the Body Shop actually decide what they were going to support? Now, it's not like you guys don't have advocacy in the blood, you know, and late Anita Roddick was really quite the lady, and she brought that into the Body Shop's spirit, and it's in your DNA, really. Mm. But how does the Body Shop decide what deserves their attention and their support and their money?
Well, there are two aspects to it. There's the global side of it, and in terms of the causes and the issues that we support globally, that's decided by the UK, obviously. We're currently running a global campaign called the Stop Sex Trafficking of Children and Young People campaign, and that's completely focused on the trafficking of children for sexual purposes.
Mm. You have some products as well that you can buy in the shop.
That's
that
right,
support
a hand
that.
Cream. So the funds raised from that go directly to our local partners and our international partner, ACPAT International. Mm. So in terms of the global side of the business, we've never been shy about tackling really sensitive topics. Mm. We did domestic violence in the past, and trafficking of children really started last year. So when it comes to the local part of the business, we encourage our markets or our companies within each country to think about issues that are relevant to the local population, clearly. And a lot of the projects that we do support are small. We don't have a huge sponsorship budget, for instance. Mm. So we're really picky about the projects that we do support. And we're very aware that small groups find it a lot harder to get funding. We also find it really important to work very closely with our partners. So we're not just about giving you a lump sum of money and then walking away. Mm. We want to be involved. We want to understand what your issues are. We want our staff to volunteer with you if possible. So it's a long-term process. It's not a one-off donation and that's it. So that's how basically we ended up supporting Soup Kitchen. Soup Kitchen was a personal thing. I was volunteering with them, and I saw how effective they were and how well organized they were, and it was a really exciting thing to support. So, I mean, I was very happy to do that.
And here we are. And that's the other thing I really wanted to ask you guys, you know, the sort of tangible sort of what you can feel, the benefit of what you're doing. Address it to Kareem, because, you know, Earth Hour is it's this huge thing now. You know, it's everywhere. And how do you actually know that what you're doing, we're switching off our lights, but how do we know that we're actually getting, or you're getting into the hearts and minds of people, and that they're actually going to do something more than just switch off their lights?
I think what's important there is how do we manage to bring more awareness to the general public. Earth Hour currently is going to be carrying out in 120 countries, and hundreds of millions of people are going to switch off their lights. Among those hundreds of millions of people, I don't know how many of them will actually take action in their everyday life following the campaign and make real changes in their lifestyle or in their
life. But that's the intention, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the intention, of course, and that's what we want to achieve. But even if it's just a handful of people who are making the change, I think that's going to be a success.
That's as good as it is. Well, we're going to take another little break, and when we come back, more talk about causes and effects right here on Face Off with Anita Kapoor, 938 Live. And we're back with Face Off with Anita Kapoor, and I have my fabulous guests in front of me. And we also have on the telephone, we have Woon Tien Wei. Tien, are you there listening in to us?
Oh, yes, I am.
Hi,
Tien. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, very loud and clear. Tien Wei, if you could just introduce yourself to everybody listening in.
Okay, hi, I'm Tien Wei, and I'm Well, I run the cafe called Food Number 3, and then that's where we hold Soup Kitchen Singapore project every Monday when we close.
Right. Now, this is a strictly volunteer project, Tianwei, right?
Yep.
And what was the idea behind it, and when did it actually begin?
I think it began about a year ago, and I think the idea kind of came about when we were spending so much time and in Little India, and we're thinking about how we see a lot of people in the area who seem to be quite needy. Mm-hmm. So I think after talking to a few people, we thought, the most we can do is when we're closed on Monday, and instead of keeping the kitchen closed and the restaurant closed, we thought we will sort of share it with a group of volunteers who are willing to cook, and then after that, serve it to the people that would find the food quite helpful for them.
Right.
Monday.
And how did you actually, how were you able to actually identify who was going to need the food and who didn't need the food? Was it a growing need in the area?
No, actually, it comes about, how we find out is that it's actually very simple, actually. We initiated a few rounds of walking about and talking to various people that live in some of the rental flats.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Tianwei, I think for a lot of people listening in, I mean, the idea that there is any sort of inability to get food or that there is a real situation of poverty in Singapore is probably quite one that's quite surprising. Were you surprised in any way?
Actually, we see a lot of hints and suggestions. Mm-hmm. I think, of course, there are various cases. Some cases are really quite sad, and some cases are maybe not as shocking as you can imagine, lah. But I think one of the key is that for us, it's not that we are not doing as much as what we're doing is very basic. It's really just providing one meal a week, and that's not really a real solution. But I think the main idea was really to get in touch with a community that's living around us and
that needed something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and actually from there and see what we can help. And I think from actually understanding more, I think more and actually just putting, let's say, for example, somebody needs a bit, and then we can ask in our network, does somebody have a bit to give away, and we could always do that,
Okay, we actually have the Body Shop here with us. Wei is with us here in the studio, and you can say hi to her.
Hi, Tian.
Hi, Wei.
And we've actually been discussing really why the Body Shop got involved, and how did that all come about between you guys?
You all haven't discussed about that yet.
Well, we have, but we want to hear it from your standpoint, because I think, to run something like this, you guys are doing this all as volunteers, using your own money, using your own time, and this is where I find some of these things quite remarkable. There's a lot of people out there doing things just with their own blood, sweat, and tears, and it can't be an easy thing to do, and neither can it be an easy thing to actually get people to sponsor, because it really comes from having an understanding that this sort of thing exists, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it's been keeping a low profile in some way, and then I think when we heard about it, and then suggested the possibility that we could actually seek some CSR funding, and then we did, and then it came through, and it came out very helpful for us, actually.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, we want to wish you all the best, and for now and for the future, and thank you for talking to us on Face Off.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, Tian. And that's the thing, you see, a lot of times this has to do with education, really, doesn't it? And I want to ask Corinne this. You know, at the end of the day, we talk about climate change, but does anybody actually really know what climate change is? There are so many words and so much rhetoric that's just constantly thrown at people that they really have no idea, what am I supposed to do? Save the planet? Save what on earth is climate change?
Climate change is actually our weather, which is changing because of man-made activities, yeah? Our planet can take just a certain amount of greenhouse gases, sometimes we refer to it as carbon dioxide, just a certain amount of those gases. But when we pumping into the atmosphere too many of those gases, then the weather is changing, and then we face dramatic consequences, right? Drought, floods, anything, you name it. The issue is that we're driving too many cars, we're using too much electricity, all our lifestyle, are to be questioned here. The problem is that I don't think people really realize the urgency to act against climate change.
But let me stop you there. the urgency, a lot of times people say this is just a big conspiracy. There, nothing's happening. You know, there's been a big backlash in the last year or so against this whole idea of global warming, climate change, and where people really loved Al Gore. Now they're like, what is he talking about? So how would you address that?
There's something very interesting, because recently I read a report saying, and I saw it in the movie, they're saying that actually only 1% of the world scientists are actually questioning climate change, but 60% of the population is questioning it.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, that's indeed that's very really interesting.
Now, you have two young children, and I mean, you're talking about earlier that 2015 is the cutoff date for?
It's a cutoff date to cap our emissions. So by 2015, we need to limit our emission. We cannot emit more than what we're emitting today. It's only 5 years from today. It's very short time to do something about it. Also, knowing that Copenhagen was a failure, we didn't manage to have a binding agreement in December. So now we only have 5 years to cap our emissions. Okay. It's not a lot of time. So it's really time to do something about it today.
We're going to break for some traffic announcement. When we come back, we're going to talk to Michael about the context of what Karina is talking about in terms of food and away in terms of people. And we're back talking to Michael. Michael, okay. We talked about poverty. Isn't glamorous. It isn't amazing. It doesn't have all that sort of hoo-ha behind it. It's really quite a down and dirty subject at the end of the day. I want you to tell people listening in really what is the reality of that poverty in Singapore and in the region.
All right. Here in Singapore, when you look at homelessness and you look at you know, the worst cases of poverty, I think there are two categories. One are foreign workers. The other are local Singaporeans. Mm. And there are different reasons why each of these groups fall into the situation. In the case of homeless workers, you find some sleeping on the streets, in car parks, etc., because they've been screwed over, I hope I can say it on the radio, by...
We've said it.
by bad employment agents, by bad companies. They've been injured. And basically, their rights are not being respected. There was a worker who came to the Cuff Road Project, which is a food program we operate over on Cuff Road.
That's part of the umbrella of under the umbrella of what you do.
Yeah, One Singapore and Transient Workers Count Two, TWC2. We collaborate on a project called the Cuff Road Project, which provides free meals twice a day to homeless and jobless foreign workers. It's in a restaurant where it's a safe space and they can eat with dignity. So just this month, a worker came into the program who had been brought into Singapore about 6 weeks ago. And during that time, I mean, he was brought in legally, you know, he was given 2 days of work. So he's supposed to have a contract to be working for, you know, 2 years, but they pay him for the days he works, and he was working one day out in Changi and another day out in Boon Keng.
How do people even get away with this?
Well, the Employment Act needs to be, I'd say, better enforced. And when there are examples of companies that are doing this sort of thing, they need to be prosecuted. And publicly, you know, the news has to be there so other companies don't do it.
Yeah.
Let me share a local example with you.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So on the local side, I think there are different reasons why we find people actually without a home to stay in. In some cases, it's because the primary wage earner has lost their job. So there are a number of cases like that up at New Hope Community Services right now, who are a partner for Everyone Can, the event on Sunday. You have cases where one of the children has been taken to prison. And, of course, you know, in our society of Asian values, any parents who have kids cannot receive public support. But what happens when their children are no longer able to give any support because they're unemployed or in prison?
Well, the whole system falls apart then.
It does.
Yeah.
Or you're a single mother, or you're a divorced mother. A single mother with kids, you can't qualify to get a flat. Your parents kick you out, you bounce from place to place, and next thing you're in the void deck or camping out at Changi Beach.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, there are a number of cases like these.
Oh.
And I think there's a couple ways to approach them.
Now, do you think this is all kind of the sort of a silent kind of minority? Not heard, not seen, no one knows?
People,
no one wants to know?
People know, but they need to care more. And we need to approach these problems with a perspective of compassion.
Right.
Because it could happen to any of us.
Yes, it certainly can. And I think I'd like to move that over the way, this idea of people need to care a lot more and it can happen to anyone. The Body Shop is, in addition to its wonderful work with the Soup Kitchen Project, is also supporting a Stop Sex Trafficking of Children and Young People campaign. Now, I'm trying to get my head around this from a Singapore perspective.
I know.
Sex trafficking?
It's very hard to believe.
Yes.
And I don't think we're actually saying it happens in Singapore. When it first started, I think when we were just deciding on which organizations to work with for the campaign, we really wanted to find organizations that had some history of working with this issue. And that's why we're working with UNIFEM and HOME to really think about an issue such as trafficking of children for sexual purposes. Mm. It's very hard, like you said, to wrap your head around it because you don't see it on the streets.
No.
And even in countries like Thailand, when it's prolific, you don't see it on the streets either. You need to know where to go. You need to know where to look and who to ask. And that's why we thought it was really important to spend the first year creating awareness about the issue. It's a global issue. 2.5 million people are being trafficked, and I think more than half of them are children under the age of 18.
That's shocking.
Yes, it is. Extremely shocking. And especially for people who have kids.
Yeah.
So we're spending the first year of the campaign raising funds to fund a research project. Mm. So we're working with UNIFEM at Home, as well as a researcher from NUS. So we need to find out exactly what the situation is in Singapore, and then that would inform our campaign for the next 2 years.
It's been an absolutely lively discussion. And, you know, just before we sort of kind of come sort of towards the end of the show, this hour has passed incredibly well. It's been very buoyant. All my hopes and dreams for my first show have come out. I want to ask each of you to kind of give a shout out to what you do, because for me, talking to each of you, I feel a little bit more convinced, a little bit more happy about the efforts that some of these organizations and the efforts that are being put into to getting the message out there. Corinne, very quickly.
Yeah. Very quickly, I think people cannot rely only on organizations like us to do the job. We are too small to do the job, and we need everyone to take action and to do something about it and to join the cause, whether it's our organization, whether it's other organization. Of course, we switch off your lights on Saturday at 8:30 p.m.
Earth
but you do much more than that.
Awesome. Michael?
Each and every one of us can make a difference in this world. We can each make an impact. We can each stand up for what's right. So I encourage everyone out there to do that. And to learn more about One Singapore, www.onesingapore.org.
Fantastic way.
And for myself, I think we need to find out more about issues that we don't understand about. And in terms of trafficking, I would encourage you to go to thebodyshop.com/trafficking to find out about the campaign and how you could make a difference.
And we have also got the very, very fabulous Dawn Mock on the line from City Scoops. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Anita.
Now, the City Scoops is partnering with Face Off with Anita Kapoor. They are the independent hit-selling guide to Singapore. They also have a Bangkok edition. They're the inside scoop on unique experiences, the quintessential experiences in Singapore. Dawn, we were talking about initiatives to really sink your teeth into, apart from the fantastic people that we've been speaking to today. So tell me, how else can we make a difference?
Well, I think for a start, you know, it's good to arm yourself with information. So some of the recommendations that I'm giving today here are, you know, the sort of businesses and initiatives that we would feature in our books.
Okay, Dawn, we're going to have to zip through all of those things that we've been talking about.
Can. All right, here we go. First, check out greenfuture.sg. It's a network of websites that are all about transforming a little red dot into a green one. And then talking about poverty issues here in Singapore, check out Food for All, also a website. They're a research and action group addressing poverty, hunger, and food issues in Singapore. And this one's a nice one. It's called Kampong Senang.
That's one of my favorites.
Yes, it's great. It's a charity providing care for the elderly, cancer patients, children, and the earth. Go to the website, see how you can help out.
Awesome. Dawn, thank you so much. Thanks to City Scoops for joining us. And that's all the time that we have here on Face Off with Anita Kapoor. We see you same time next week on 938 Live.